This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Slow build up. When you get back from vacation, you got to get back into the flow just a little bit. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm your studio host, Brad Porter, live in the Rally House Studios. Jed Marshall is here as well. And back and rested. It's always kind of it's a challenge to get back into the flow when you come back from vacation because you're out of your routine, you know, getting up at 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday to get yourself going. And I'll tell you what, when we left the state of Colorado Saturday morning, it was 56 degrees. Jed Marshall just gave me a friendly gesture. And then as soon as we get back to Kansas City, it's 110. Surface of the sun kind of material. I appreciate all the kind comments, by the way. We had a couple of people tweet out over the weekend, tweeting at me and Josh Briscoe and Jed Marshall. Where are you guys? There was a national show on one day, either a Saturday or a Sunday, saying, tired of hearing all the LeBron talk. We want some Kansas City talk. So we're here.
It's too bad. We're doing 3 hours of NBA free agency.
we will probably mix in a little NBA free agency. In fact, I was just looking. It was interesting because I heard Seren Petro's discussion the other day on his show about why Major League Baseball struggles, and part of it has to do with the headlines, the appeal of the sport, the demographics, and here are your top stories on ESPN.com this morning. Top stories, top headlines, I guess, is the actual title. Number one, Jordan eyes Mavs after opting out, sources say. DeAndre Jordan opting out of the Clippers deal may want to join the Mavs. Story number two, sources, Kerr, Warriors agree to rich extension. That would be head coach Steve Kerr, obviously. You go to four straight championship finals, you win three of those, you're going to get an extension. Story number three, Lakers Ball has torn left meniscus. That would be Lonzo Ball. Story number four, Tebow named Eastern League All-Star Team, Tim Tebow. So three of the top four stories are NBA. Story number five, Mavs declined Dirk's option for cap space. So four of the top five stories on ESPN.com are NBA related. That's the way it goes. If you're Major League Baseball, you have a problem. This is supposed to be when you're front and center. The NFL draft is over. Training camp doesn't start for another 3 to 4 weeks. Hockey's done, other than watching Ovechkin party his way around the world with the Stanley Cup. No college basketball. We will have some news about KU, by the way. So this is the time for Major League Baseball to be center stage, and it is not. It's just not. And they have an image problem. And we can talk about that as well. Quick headline, Royals lose last night 4-1. Jed Marshall called me at about 11 o'clock, 11:30 last night?
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah, roughly in the middle because it's West Coast baseball. And my career started by doing pre- and post-game shows for West Coast Royals games because at the place where I used to work, those guys didn't want to stay up late, and I really wanted to do radio. So Royals lose 4-1. My only takeaway from last night's game is gosh, can you be concerned about anything at this point about a team charging toward 100 losses?
No, you cannot.
Not really. But Ian Kennedy pulled out of the game after just 74 pitches, giving up three runs, including a couple of long balls. So it will be imperative, and I believe Ryan LaFever mentioned this on the Fox Sports broadcast last night, that that's a concern, and it is, and something to keep watching for updates on during the day. So there really isn't a lot to get worked up over. But here, I'll give you a positive thing about the Royals. So we're all following the prospects because that's the mode we're in now. We're back to where we were in, what, the 30 years going into 2013 where you're looking for the next guy? Who the top draft picked? How are they doing? How are they progressing?
I think that's an unfair statement.
We're not too far away from the World Series. We're not that far away.
Okay. No, I just mean when people say the 30 years, all of those 30 years weren't bad. I mean, I was young for a lot of them, but up until about 94 when the strike happened,
yes. 89 was great. 90 was supposed to be good.
Yeah, 94, they were barreling towards winning
right.
a playoff spot.
They would have been in the playoffs, in my opinion.
And then there was the gap to 03, and then
yes.
there was really the desert. So I'd say about 15
okay.
years.
But we're kind of back to watching prospects, right? We're seeing how the young guys are doing. So here's the good news from last night. So Nicky Lopez, who's an up-and-coming shortstop, infielder. He can play a couple of different spots. He got his promotion to AAA Omaha, which means he's on the doorstep. He's almost here. He's a couple hundred miles away, right? Nicky Lopez last night in his debut for AAA Omaha. Pretty good. How about 4-for-5 with a double, a home run, 3 runs scored, 2 RBIs, and a stolen base. Would you call that pretty good? No. My thing, and I've had this debate, I guess, with myself over the last few years, of when is it too soon to call somebody up to Kansas City? Because we see guys all over Major League Baseball. Heck, there was a 19-year-old this year who's playing. Guys 19, 20, 21 years old. How early is too early? Take a guess at how old Nicky Lopez is. He's 23. Jed guessed 22. He's 23. How long before you give him a look in Kansas City? In his season that is gone, a season that is going to reach 100 losses, how long do you wait? I mean, the trade deadline is coming up. That's going to force some moves. That's going to force the Royals to make some chances. Nicky Lopez's birthday is March 13th. If he does not come up this year, then he'll make his major league debut as a 24-year-old. Okay, now he was a college kid, okay? He played at Creighton. Now he's back kind of, you know, with the Omaha Storm Chasers. He's back in the city or in the area where he played his college baseball at Creighton. He's 23. I'm not sure you wait all that much longer. Alcides Escobar does not need more at-bats. He doesn't. Whatever streak the Royals are trying to keep intact is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. Did he have big hits in the playoffs in the World Series for the Royals? Absolutely. Does his streak matter in 2018? No. What matters most for the Royals is getting playing time and at-bats. Nicky Lopez is performing. He's 23 years old. Frankly, if we get to the middle of September and Nicky Lopez is not on the roster, then I don't know what we're doing here. Going to wait till he's 24? I mean, by today's standards, that's the prime of your career, and you're waiting. So we'll see how long it takes Nicky Lopez to get to Kansas City. I believe he's got to be on this roster sometime in September. We got World Cup action going on. France and Argentina. And Jed Marshall has just put his hands on his head. Was that Griezmann?
Yeah, that was Harold Griezmann.
Antoine Griezmann?
Antoine Griezmann. Yes. wow, that was quite a strike off the crossbar.
Well, here's the thing about today. Now we're into the knockout rounds. And, you know, I've heard all the shows this week. I've heard the Border Patrol. I've heard Soren Petro. I've heard Kevin Keatsman between the lines. I've heard everybody have their takes this week. Today changes because it's the knockout round. Thursday was an absolute disaster. England and Belgium engaged in one of the worst exhibitions of professional athletics I have ever seen. Neither team wanted to win the game. In fact, the head coach of Belgium said going into the game, "I think it's important we do not win." I think it's important we do not win because he wanted an easier opponent in the knockout round. I get it. Should you say that out loud? In American sports, no. In world soccer, okay.
I think, isn't that the ultimate spirit of competition? We'd really like to not win.
We'd like to not win.
And I mean, we are talking about a sport that one of the tiebreakers after fair play challenge,
oh my
drawing
God.
Lots. So I love soccer,
yes.
And I appreciate the nuance and subtlety and different, I don't know, every sport has its culture, as we like to say. But I don't know, it's just so typical of soccer. I'm not saying they have it all figured out, but I do love it.
No. That was wrong. Senegal, which was one of the most entertaining teams to watch during pool play, was knocked out because they had too many yellow cards. It came down to a tiebreaker, and we got, what, to the seventh tiebreaker. Who has more yellow cards? Senegal has more yellow cards. They're knocked out. So we're deprived of watching Senegal move on. A terrific team. And I'm a little bit biased because they have Mane, who plays for Liverpool in the English Premier League, so I'm biased. But they play an entertaining brand of soccer, up-tempo brand of soccer, and they were punished for having too many yellow cards, and that's why they're not moving on.
Their manager's great, too. He looks like he could get on the pitch right now.
It's fantastic. Guy has, he has what? He's great suits, great hair, physically fit. Good-looking dude. And they're not moving on because of yellow cards. So today we have France and Argentina. And then I forgot to look ahead to the second game, but we're into the knockout stages.
The second game is Portugal versus Uruguay.
Oh, my gosh. That is going to be off the charts.
Uruguay's really good. They haven't lost.
I love Uruguay.
I know they've lost or won their last five matches. I think that'll be extremely compelling. Portugal, yeah. Obviously, people know Ronaldo.
You got Cristiano Ronaldo.
Not the best supporting cast around him.
No. Quaresma, who is a pretty good player for Portugal, didn't start their last game and came on. He did start the last game but didn't play the previous two games and scored what proved to be a match winner for them. Uruguay with Luis Suarez, who used to play for Liverpool, now plays for Barcelona. They also have Cavani, who plays for PSG. They have some really good players, and that is a really compelling matchup. And that it's a tilted bracket. One side is much stronger than the other. And today's games should prove to be good. Argentina and France. Okay, I've talked about my biases in favor of guys I like and guys I don't like. I don't like France. I just don't. They left one of their best players at home. Another player named Mane, who's like 22, 23 years old for some ridiculous, stupid reason. And they tried to lose their last game in pool play. Uninspired, unemotional. I don't like them. And France just scored on a PK. And that was Griezmann. So there you go. There's your World Cup update. I was not doing live play-by-play. I waited until after it happened. Antoine Griezmann just scored on a PK. And France leads Argentina 1-0. So now what happens in Argentina? They're in full meltdown, right? Because the criticism for Lionel Messi is off the charts. If they win a game, it's Argentina won a game, and Messi may have helped. If they lose a game, why didn't Messi help out more? And that's where they're on par right now. And they've got 70 minutes, 75 minutes left to play. 65 minutes left to play. I'm not good at math. 65.
75.
75 minutes. Okay, they have 75 minutes left to play. So Lionel Messi's entire World Cup will be judged on the next 75 minutes. Did he do enough? Has he done enough? He left Argentina when he was 12 or 13 years old. He doesn't come back very often. Argentina does not do well, even though they made the finals of a World Cup and lost in not a good fashion. But he is harshly judged, and he should be. If Cristiano Ronaldo, playing for a Portugal team that has far less talent than Argentina, can drag his team through these world competitions and Messi can't, then that's on Messi. He gets paid a lot of money. to take the Heat. And his salary at Barcelona is much, he doesn't get that much for Argentina. And I saw one of the French players, Mbappe, who's one of the rising talents in the world, came out the other day and said he's donating his entire World Cup income to charity. He said, I don't need it. I make $15 million a year playing for my team. I shouldn't have to be paid to play for my country. So we'll keep you updated on that. Another story that came out yesterday of local notes, KU basketball. First, they released their non-conference schedule, which is crazy. But the other story is, surprise, he's back. LeGerald Vick will play another season at the University of Kansas. And we heard, Bill Self was asked about this, is it last week or the previous week? In the last 10 days, Bill Self was asked during a gathering of the media about LeGerald Vick. And he said, well, you know, we've talked. You know, he wanted to explore going professional. And the basic, the tone and the takeaway from it was LeGerald Vick is gone. LeGerald Vick is not coming back. There are not enough spots. There are not enough minutes. There's not enough basketballs to shoot. That was the takeaway from the last time we heard from Bill Self. And then yesterday, boom. LeGerald Vick says, to steal from Roy Williams, I'm staying. That was before he left. LeGerald Vick back at the University of Kansas. And how does that help or hurt the dynamic of the 2018-2019 Kansas Jayhawks? It's definitely going to affect the minutes. And thankfully, coming up here in about 14 minutes, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star is going to join us. And he's going to break down how it may affect the minutes. LeGerald Vick coming back as a senior, do you automatically make him a starter? I don't think Bill Self feels compelled to start anybody based on their, for lack of a better term, years of service, their seniority. If you've earned it, if you've earned the minutes, you will get the minutes. This is a Kansas team that had the Lawson brothers sit out last year to transfer. They have some of the top incoming freshmen in the country. The bottom line is, who helps you win more? LeGerald Vick was on, he was on a swing last year. He could come out and throw down 16 points, grab 8 boards, and be absolutely fantastic. He also had games where he could check out and not help the team at all. He got benched. It was January. Bill Self was benching players who were not performing. LeGerald Vick was benched. So what kind of motivation does LeGerald Vick come back with? If he went and explored his professional options after his junior season and didn't see anything that appealed to him, obviously didn't get drafted, what's his motivation now? Is there still something out there for him after this? Of course there is. He can find a spot to play in Europe. He can go to the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas and get some looks, probably, maybe. He's going to be a very motivated individual this season. What can Bill Self get out of him? How can Bill Self make him even better? Bill Self makes almost everybody better. So LeGerald Vick is back. Couple of things before we may want to throw out here before we go to a timeout here. Jed Marshall has, we talked over the week about things we want to do, and there's always the headline things, but Jed has some Jedlines.
Oh, are we doing that now?
You want to, we can save it till later.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought we'd do that.
I'll get
maybe
you ready.
I
should like throw up a flare. Like, hey, you might want to get ready for this.
I mean, I do have them next to me, but I thought we were doing that at the end of the show.
No, we'll do it at the end of the show. That's right. We nailed that down. We'll do it at the end of the show. So Jesse Newell will come up here in just a few minutes talking about Kansas. At 10 o'clock, Seth Kaiser at Real MN Chiefs Fan will come on. And Seth Kaiser has been penning a series of articles for TheAthletic.com called Beyond the Arm, where he looks at quarterbacks and breaks them down beyond just what you see, beyond just what your eyeballs tell you. How smart are they? How intelligent are they? How intuitive are they? And he posted a column on one Patrick Mahomes the second. And Seth Kaiser put a stipulation on that. If you don't want to buy into the hype even more, then don't read this. So I think Seth Kaiser is going to have some very good things to say about Patrick Mahomes the second. At 11 o'clock, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us. He covers Major League Soccer, as well as the U.S. men's and women's national team, and the World Cup. So we will talk Sporting KC on the road tonight. Nate Bucati was off to Montreal yesterday. I'm telling you what, you want to talk about a difficult customs operation. Probably not difficult for Nate because he's traveling by himself.
He's flying.
The team left for Thursday.
Yeah, and Nate's going to fly his private jet up there, I believe.
Yeah, he's on his private jet from his lake house. He had his helicopter take him to the airport to get onto his private jet.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go through Canadian customs, and this might be boring for people, but if you have television equipment, it has to be pre-registered because I've had to deal with this in my former career at the channel formerly known as Metro Sports, and we had to travel with the Royals, covering the Blue Jays, both in the playoffs and the regular season. You have to pre-register all of your electronic gear. So, like your camera gear, you have to tell them what frequencies you have. You have to tell them the size of your batteries. You have to tell them how much video you can store on your discs that you take to shoot video. Because Canada has regulations on how much video you can store. I had something caught in my throat there.
Brad, you're really broken up about this Canadian customs.
It's a pain in the ass. It is hard to travel to Canada with television equipment. It has to be pre-registered. You have paperwork you have to fill out. And then when you get there, they go through all of it. There's no... Like sometimes you get the cursory check. What's in the gear bag there? I'll take a look. A couple of lights. You got some batteries. A couple of tape. Okay. No, they check everything. And if it doesn't match up, you're in trouble. The video cards that you have that we all use now. We don't use tapes anymore. The video cards, if they exceed a certain capacity, you're not taking them in. It's strange. I don't get it. Those are their laws. That's fine. That's how they do it. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. Makes it a pain in the ass for people like us. But that's the way it is. But back to my point, Andy Edwards is going to join us at 11 o'clock with Sporting KC up in Montreal. And we'll talk World Cup with France leading Argentina 1-0 in the knockout rounds.
Boo.
Yeah, I'm not liking that. I've got my bracket. I posted it on Twitter several days ago, so it's not altered, it's not changed. I picked 13 of the 16 into the knockout round. And they were obvious. I picked Iceland to make it. They didn't.
Did you have Japan in there?
Let me look. No, I didn't. Where did... let me see. Who did I
them
have?
Them or Senegal, probably.
I had Senegal.
Yep, there you
yep,
go.
I had Senegal in. And because of too many yellow cards that... took one off my chart. So in this matchup today, I had France versus Iceland because I had Argentina on the other side of the bracket facing Denmark. But I do not want France to win.
I'm very perplexed by this match because we have Paul Pogba, but we also have Lionel Messi.
Ooh, so you need those two guys to score. Paul Pogba doesn't score that much.
He should.
He's a terrific talent. I truly believe that. But I also think he's the most overrated player in the world.
I could see that. The troubling part for me is that with the number two overall pick and being team captain, I was somewhat responsible for who Team Additional Programming picked. But Rudy is who I've been you know, pushing all the blame off on hashtag.
And he's not here. He just left the building.
Yeah, so I can crap all over Rudy.
Go ahead.
But yeah, so it's really Rudy's fault if you're looking for a scapegoat, which has been very fun to play up on Twitter. But yeah, I just need really it to be like 6-6. Those guys score all of the goals.
You guys got messy though.
Yeah.
Nate's been getting.
Nate's the Border Patrol. I was texting with Jake about this yesterday.
He's been dragged for 2 weeks.
The Border Patrol's team does suck. Connell, who is a member of that team, when we were at the draft. He said Nate has drafted some, quote, marbles, end quote. I don't know what that means, but hilarious.
I can interpret that.
Yeah. So.
Who did they pass? They passed on Ronaldo, right?
They passed on Ronaldo also.
Wow.
They drafted some Jesus something or other from Brazil. He's like 21. That's all Nate keeps touting. He's 21.
Here's the thing.
21, though.
When you do a player pool, there's the debate. You have the best players versus which teams are going to make it the furthest and have the most opportunities. I don't care how far Portugal makes it. Ronaldo is always going to score. Almost always.
That's why it's hashtag team blame Rudy, because he's a Real Madrid fan, and Rudy passed on him because Rudy's an idiot. I hope you're listening on the way home, Rudy.
Here's another reason you should be upset with that, depending on which players you have, that England-Belgium travesty a couple of days ago. Harry Kane coming off a hat trick, didn't play a minute. And Romelu Lukaku from Belgium, who's been fantastic, didn't play a minute.
I didn't watch a lot of that match.
It was awful.
We don't have
nothing.
Either of those guys. We have Andreas Mertens from Belgium, but we also have...
He got in late.
We have England's defense... And clean sheets are paramount, and you get points for saves.
They gave up the goal.
Gave up a goal. But if they win the World Cup, we get our money back if England wins. So I'm very perplexed because I picked Belgium. I want England to win. I have players competing against each other. My world is all fouled up.
There you go. Well, I have Spain and Belgium in the finals. I'm still alive. I have Spain winning it all. Unfortunately, I had Germany into the Final Four. And the only thing I'll miss about Germany not being there, because Germany, when they played against Mexico, I'm a fan of Mexico. My kids have Mexican blood running through them, so I'm a fan of Mexico. And the Germans, if you watch when they took the tight shots, would purposely stand over the top of the Mexican players and stare down at them to intimidate them. We are bigger. We are stronger. We are Germany. You don't belong on the same field with us. And Mexico kicked their ass. They ran them right off the field. So Germany is gone, and I'm happy about that. But I will miss the cutaway shots of their head coach, Yogi Löw. Has he been fired or resigned yet? Something's got to happen with that. But every cutaway, he's picking his nose. And if you go to YouTube, I won't go into too much detail in here. If you go into YouTube and look up Joachim Löw, Yogi Löw, he likes to dig around. Let's just say that. Likes to dig around different areas of his body. Can be quite disgusting. And we don't have that now that Germany's out. So I guess thank you. On that note, we'll take a quick timeout. We come back. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star is going to join us. Talking KU athletics, the search for the next director of athletics. LeGerald Vick returning to the basketball team. How summer camp is going for basketball. How summer camp is going for football, all that kind of stuff. So Jesse Newell, the Kansas City Star, you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jed Marshall is producing. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House studios. We'll be back right after this quick timeout.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and blasting 50,000 watts across the Midwest. Also, you can listen on your app. I like to listen on my phone when I'm out for a walk. And lately, I've had to take a walk like at 10 o'clock at night, and it still feels like it's a million degrees outside. My name is Brad Porter, by the way. Jed Marshall is here, and we are live in the Rally House studios. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star joins us now to talk everything KU athletics. Jesse, how are you, and are you bracing yourself for another boiling hot day here in the Midwest?
Yeah, about an hour ago, I thought about mowing the lawn, and then I thought, no, that's okay.
We had this debate. Jed and I had this debate a couple of weeks ago. I had mentioned when I was driving to the studio one morning, some guy was out mowing his yard at like 7:15 in the morning, and I made a crack about, oh, that's rude. How can you do that? Wake up the neighbors. But Jed made the point, if it's going to be 100 degrees outside, when are you supposed to mow the yard?
It's crazy. Yeah, I look tomorrow, it's like, oh, high in the upper 80s and maybe some rain. I thought, well, maybe I'll try my chances tomorrow. Maybe the heat index then will be like 105.
And people are saying that, you know, it's even too hot to go to the swimming pool, which is just ridiculous. Hey, Jesse, speaking of things that are hot, a lot of news around the University of Kansas. The athletics director search is ongoing, and word is that it may be wrapped up by the end of next week. We have had one candidate say publicly that he was never a finalist, and I believe that was it Central Florida, South Florida's AD said that the
Central Florida.
There was a story that got out that he was a candidate, and he publicly came out and said that is patently false, and he is out. And look, news doesn't leak from Kansas very much. They keep a tight lid on this, as they should. So do you have a kind of a handle on the finalists or the guys that are coming down to the wire here? If your name is not Dana Anderson, I guess you're not, you know, clued in on the information. But do you have a little bit of a handle on a couple of the final people they're looking at?
Well, yeah, I mean it's complicated. You know, do I know the finalists? No. Do I think, again, I talked to Douglas Girard earlier this week after he had a board of directors meeting up at KU and asked him, you know, he mentioned to a group in Salina, you know, he said hopefully within 2 weeks they'd have a new athletic director. And so I asked him on, I believe it was Wednesday, if he wanted that two-week timeline, if that was his goal. And he basically said, yeah, I want to try to make sure that is, or at least push for that. And that's kind of the goal for it. So, again, that's not a set-in-stone thing, but I think that's something he wants to have happen. You know, you kind of try to talk to people. You kind of try to get a gauge of what's happening, and you're right. KU has kept this very quiet. I kept on the down low, and with 80 searches as compared to coaching searches, a lot of times you want it to be kept on the down low because of exactly what you've seen in this last week, Brad. I mean, like exactly like Danny White from Central Florida. There was, an SB Nation site that listed some rumors about who had been interviewed and said KU had met with Danny White, and so he responds to that very publicly, you know, goes on Twitter and says that he never met with Kansas. Now, again, this all could be semantics. I mean, you can have your agent and intermediary meet with them. You know what I mean? Like, there's all sorts of these things that are going on, and maybe his school, it sounds very unlikely he'll be a KU AD, but I could see why KU would have interest in them, and I could see why he might pick up the phone call. So, you know, you never know until the very end. You know, somebody brought up this week with me that Nick Saban had said absolutely he was not going to take the Alabama job a few years ago, and, you know, we all know how that turned out. But the one sense I do have, you know, from talking to people and from kind of, you know, from the information that I've kind of gathered, I think KU was down the line quite a bit with Rick Hart, who was the SMU athletic director. And it would make sense in a lot of ways. You know, he's a guy, not a sitting Power 5 AD, but, you know, SMU is about as close as you get to being Power 5 without being Power 5.
Right, they're strong in basketball. They brought their football back.
He brought their football back, made good football hirings. That's helped with fundraising. A younger person, younger in the AD business. Bill Self would have some familiarity with him since both Larry Brown and Tim Kankovich were at SMU. So that would make a lot of sense. It seemed like they probably were making, you know, inroads, and both parties were interested. I don't know the specifics, but it seems like that Rick Hart backed off in the last few days, or in the last few days of last week. And so I don't know necessarily if that was KU's number one choice or 1A choice, but it seems like there was mutual interest there. And within the last few days, again, this is why you don't want these things dragging on too long, is that the more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the more questions come in your mind if you're a potential candidate and you think about maybe why you don't want the job. And it seems like that one has kind of been crossed off of KU's list and that he is no longer a candidate. So with that, I think that Douglas Girard, again, I don't know if it's 1A or 1B or if they had three candidates. Usually in these search firms, they try to give them, you know, two or three really good candidates and you interview them and figure out which one you want. It seems like Rick Hart was one of those and is no longer one of those. So KU will kind of continue to move on with its list and see who they like from the rest of them, where, you know, Korn Ferry, which is the consulting firm, might have helped them out. So that's kind of what I've gathered so far. But as far as names right now and who it might be from this point forward, that's a really good question. And I can't give you a good answer just because, you know, from what's been out there, there haven't been many leaks and there hasn't been as much fire around anybody as much as there was SMU's Rick Hart.
We're talking with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, the search for a new director of athletics at the University of Kansas. We'll also get into KU basketball and football here in just a couple of minutes. One of the other names that came up early, and it's someone that I know personally, is Terry Mahajer from Arkansas State. I knew him a little bit when he was at KU. I knew him really well when he was at UMKC. I know his family here in Kansas City, his brother and his brother's kids go to school with my kids, so I know him personally. And I'm not going to say anything about where that stands because it's kind of a awkward position, but have you heard anything about Terry Mahajer? Because he used to run the Williams Fund at KU, which is a lot of dollars, a lot of donors, and a lot of connections. Has his name still been in the mix?
You know, it's been brought up. I've heard a lot of people that, you know, have brought up potential candidates. Even we were one of them that had him on the original list. You know, I have not heard a lot of fire, if you will, surrounding him lately. And so, again, that's probably a better question for you, actually, Brad, than it would be for me. But, you know, I will say this for the athletic director candidate position, and this is part of what I wrote in my story this last week. It's a little bit interesting in what Douglas Girard, the new chancellor at Kansas, will be looking for. This might not play out if it was different circumstances, but, you know, we know how this works in the college athletic game. A lot of times you're searching for what the previous person wasn't. And, you know, you can go back in history.
It's like head football coaches in the NFL. We had a defensive-minded guy. We need an offensive-minded guy. You're exactly right. You look for something different.
Well, I mean, think about KU football. I mean, just go back in time. I mean, I can go way back. Glenn Mason. Mean guy, you know. Next guy, Terry Allen, nice guy. Mark Mangino, mean guy. Turner Gill, nice guy. Charlie Weiss, mean guy. David Beatty, nice guy. I mean,
Charlie Weiss.
I mean, you understand? You're trying to hire what you didn't have with the previous person.
And Charlie Weiss,
and I've said this before. Shane did a lot of very good things for KU athletics. He was a good person. People liked working with him. All those sorts of things.
Oh, that Rock Chalk Park they have is fantastic. The facilities
I mean, there's lots of good things he did. So if you're going to make the move to fire Shane Zenger, you need to get someone in who is going to be what he wasn't. And he wasn't a huge face of the program. He wasn't someone who was super comfortable. And, you know, he wasn't, like, big on social media, that sort of thing. He was good at fundraising for a while, but it seemed to lose momentum, as Douglas Girard said in some very public comments after he decided to fire Shane Zenger. And, again, the football hires were not right. I mean, he didn't get that right in his tenure. So if you're Douglas Girard, and this is the first big move you've made as chancellor, I mean, you've kind of had a quiet couple months, but the first big thing you do is you fire Shane Zenger. You know, whether it's right or wrong or should be or shouldn't be, his job and one of his big goals is to kind of make a splash with this one. Like, this is the biggest thing he's done at KU and one of the first big things he's done with the job. If he nails this hire, if he gets it right, if the football stadium gets rebuilt, if the next football coach, if there is one, you know, has success, or if David Beatty turns around to the new athletic director, I mean, he hits a home run right off the bat in one of the first things he does at Kansas. And so I guess my main point with all that is you can understand why a Rick Hart would be attractive, a guy that's already been an athletic director and has success with football and checks all the boxes. And you could understand why Terry Mahajer could still be on a list, but might be, you know, a rung or two down, just because I wrote this in my story earlier this week. The word out there is that Kansas is willing to pay to get the right guy in, or gal or female, you know, if that's the case. But they're willing to pay to get the right person in there to, you know, put themselves, if it's the top half of the Big 12 and AD salaries, that's fine, because they got to get this hire right. And for Douglas Girard, he's got to get this hire right. I mean, this is a very important part and moment in his tenure, because one of the very first important things he's going to do. So with Mahajer, I would just say I would not completely cross him off any list. I just think, you know, with the lack of experience that he has at the Power 5 sort of level, and again, Arkansas State, he's done good things there, and he's still a younger guy, but there might be other candidates out there who would bring more of a name value, enthusiasm, and be more of, I keep using the word splashy, but I think that might be the best word for it. I think Douglas Gerard might want to hire a splashy guy, because if you're one of your problems is that Shane Zenger could not bring about enthusiasm with the fundraising, then you want to bring in somebody who will bring enthusiasm with the fan base. And I'm not sure at this point if that's Terry Mahajer, but again, I would not cross him off the list because of the ties and because of some of the successes he has. I just think KU might be aiming higher to start with to see what they can find. And if that doesn't happen, then that he could be a good candidate here down the line.
Are you listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB? I am Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House studios. We're talking with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star about the KU search for a new director of athletics. Final question for you on that before I move to basketball. Look, I think we can all be realistic and say it's simply about football, and that's job number one. You look around the Kansas Athletics Department, men's basketball, fine. That doesn't need anything there. Women's basketball, awful. Track and field, pretty good. Volleyball, outstanding. But there are other programs that have to pick it up. But I don't think at the end of the day any of that matters, because football is the revenue driver. And is it as simple as that? When you're looking for the AD, is it as simple as hiring the guy who's going to turn the football program around, keep the current coach, fire the current coach, bring in the new coach? Is that the bottom line?
Sort of.
it's more nuanced than that. See, I'm on the radio. I don't have time to be nuanced, but you can go through the layers though.
I'll be as nuanced as I can be in 90 seconds here. I think you hit on a lot of it. However, I will also caution with this. The new athletic director can't come in here as a big boss and try to overrun men's basketball, because everyone out there can be like, oh, well, how could it get worse with football? And listen, football's in a bad spot. The program is not in good shape. That's from facilities to recent results to embarrassing losing streaks, all those sorts of things. But, the one thing that you have to give Shane Zenger credit for outside of the facilities that you talk about with Rock Chalk Park is him and Bill Self got along. And, listen, if you want to go back and look at a time at Kansas Athletics where you have a sitting Hall of Fame coach who got brought in with a new athletic director, didn't like him, and left, that happened. That was Al Bull. You know what I mean? Like, he got right in to bring football.
Al Bull was a disaster.
He hired Mark Mangino, did a great job with that, and KU lost a Hall of Fame basketball coach.
Yep.
And, I mean, credit to them, they hired another Hall of Fame basketball coach. Now, if I'm them, I don't really want to take my chances with that. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, you got good fortune once before to replace a Hall of Fame basketball coach with another Hall of Fame basketball coach. I would rather not go down that road again.
And it's almost the same timeline as Roy Williams. Number of years at the school, what you've accomplished, although Self has won the national title and Roy did not at Kansas, but it's almost the same timeline. It's eerie.
Yeah, it's within a few years. I think Al Bull got hired in Roy Williams' 12th year, and Bill Self just completed his 15th at Kansas. So, yeah, I mean, listen, and Douglas Gerard said for KU, he said, football is the biggest obstacle, and then fundraising obviously is part of that as well. But again, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. When you're talking about some of these ADs that have been huge, overwhelming personalities on campus, I don't know if that works for Kansas. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you want someone to walk in here and go tell Bill Self what he's going to do when Bill Self has done things pretty okay and worked pretty well with an athletic director who basically just kind of lets him be himself. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit tricky with that, is that, again, you want somebody who can go out there and raise funds. You want somebody to be a face of the program. You want somebody to probably be more out in public than Shane Zenger was. But you also don't want somebody who is going to walk in and try to overrun the best thing that's happening at KU right now, which is Bill Self and the basketball program. Now, having said all that, listen, Bill Self had a great relationship with Lou Perkins. And Lou Perkins was, at the time, the number one highest paid athletic director in the nation and kind of had that sort of godfather sense to him. You know what I mean? Like, everybody looked to him as the figurehead leader and followed him, that sort of thing. So I'm not necessarily saying Bill Self wouldn't get along with a different athletic director with a different leadership style. All I'm saying is that that's the one thing KU has to caution against, because yes, football's in lousy shape. Yes, football needs to be fixed, but things could get worse for Kansas. And the way things get worse, the absolute worst would be if men's basketball goes down. And that would be because Bill Self could be unhappy in a certain situation with a new leader that comes in here. So that to me are the two big things. You know, football obviously needs a lot of help, but then just keeping Bill Self happy, you know, keeping Bill Self right where he is and with the basketball program as successful as it's been, that's going to be a criteria as well.
We're talking with Jesse Newell, the Kansas City Star, talking about the AD search for the University of Kansas. Picking up on Bill Self there, good transition here. One of the final things for you here, the two big news stories for the basketball program came out yesterday. One was the non-conference schedule, which is off the charts, ridiculous in terms of how stacked it is with Villanova and Kentucky and Michigan State and all the tournament teams they have. But the other one came out late last night that was unexpected. LeGerald Vick is coming back for his senior season. And based on the comments, the last time, at least the last time I heard from Bill Self, was that it sounded like they've moved on. It was, well, you know, LeGerald explored his options. We talked about, you know, everything. We're not expecting him to come back. And then he's back. So what transpired in the last 48 hours to make, and I know you have a piece up at on the KansasCityStar.com website about a team meeting. What transpired to allow LeGerald Vick to come back, or that he wanted to come back, and how does he fit in with this team? How does he affect the minutes of the guys who were expecting to get more playing time?
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's a weird fit because, as you said, it was a couple of months ago when the release came out that LeGerald Vick was going to go pro, that he was not hiring an agent, but he was not coming back to Kansas, and Bill Self made it very clear in the release he was not coming back to Kansas. I think the most important thing that happened in the last couple of months was, I don't want to use the term struck out because obviously KU is going to be preseason number one in most polls and was going to be whether LeGerald Vick came back or not, but Bill Self had an extra scholarship, and he wanted to make clear that he could use that extra scholarship. You know, like Romeo Langford was still out there. KU was pursuing him. And Joe Cremo, you know, as a graduate transfer, they were pursuing him. KU didn't get any of those guys. And so you're left at the end of the summer, and Bill Self has a scholarship still sitting there. And all of a sudden, little Gerald Vick withdraws from the draft and wants to come back and tells Bill Self that he wants to come back, and they have this meeting they've been talking about. And, you know, it's I guess I'll start with this. It's almost in baseball. In MLB, they always talk about there are no such thing as bad one-year contracts because, listen, even if it goes horribly, you don't have anything really – you don't have any skin in the game. You know, like, it's after that year is over, it's done. It's over with. You know, you're not fully committed future years down the line to hurt yourself with something like that. And that's kind of what this became for KU and LeGerald Vick, I think, is just that there was a scholarship there. They don't lose the scholarship for next year. They can still recruit somebody else, and he wanted to come back. Now, it's still a weird, awkward fit, and I don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, a lot of KU fans are very excited. It's like, hey, you had another piece. You had a guy that was very successful a year ago, and more pieces is better. But, you know, it's tough because the last 2 years, KU's had great success playing 8- and 9-man rotations. Everybody knew their role. Everybody knew they were going to get a lot of playing time. Everybody knew they could play through mistakes. And it worked out very well. Sometimes that is a very good thing. Now, for Kansas, you got some major question marks when it comes to playing time, to minutes, to maybe – I mean, Bill Self doesn't promise guys minutes, but, you know, maybe for a guy like Sam Cunliffe, I mean, would he have considered a transfer at the beginning of the summer if he had known LeGerald Vick was coming back? Probably. You know, you got a guy like K.J. Lawson. Would he have come to Kansas with his brother Diedrich if he had known that LeGerald Vick was coming back for another year? Bill Self probably told him in the recruiting process that LeGerald Vick was leaving. So – you start to get some of these things, these question marks. Even guy Devon Dotson's a McDonald's All-American.
Right.
Playing time could be affected. I don't know. I mean, it's almost like sometimes if you eat a quart of or a pint of ice cream, it's yummy. And if you eat a gallon in one setting, it's not as yummy. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It sounds good in theory. This is a great off-season topic. LeGerald Vick's coming back to Kansas. But sometimes I wonder if it can be too much of a good thing that you have so much talent that you're wondering if these other guys might hurt a little bit of the team chemistry, be disgruntled, and it could affect KU down the line here. Again, we'll see what happens. I mean, right now, KU had an outside shooter. KU needs an outside shooter, so that's a positive for them. But I just don't know how these minutes are going to shake out. I don't know how the chemistry and everything else is going to shake out just because KU had another talented player, and now 1 through 12, they look like a team that could play pretty deep. But really don't have the minutes to play all those guys.
No, I'm sure Bill Self and his staff we'll find a way to figure it out. Hey, Jesse Newell, I appreciate you taking time on this Saturday morning to join us. I know your work never ends when a school is looking for an athletics director and the basketball program is putting out press releases at 9 o'clock on Friday night. So I love following you on Twitter, at Jesse Newell. Go to thekansascitystar.com and read all the good stuff there. Jesse, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
All right. Thank you. That is Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star talking about the search for a new director of athletics for Kansas, LeGerald Vick coming back to the basketball team. We didn't have enough time to get into the schedule, the non-conference schedule with Villanova and Kentucky and Michigan State. So we can talk about that after this quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jed Marshall is here. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House studios. Back with more right after this.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Nobody pray for me. It's been a day for me.
Final minutes of hour number one here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House studios. We didn't get a chance to get into the Kansas basketball non-conference schedule with Jesse Newell. But Jed, you know the name. It's always stacked for Kansas. They're not afraid. How about Villanova December 15th in Lawrence after Villanova dumped 11 billion three-pointers on Kansas in the Final Four last year?
It's going to be a tough game. Redemption match.
Redemption in Lawrence. How about Kentucky January 26th in Lexington, SEC Big 12 Challenge?
As Rudy and I were talking about before he headed home, Kansas always dominates Kentucky, so that's not even a contest.
How about Michigan State November 6th? Indianapolis, part of the Champions Classic.
Please, Michigan State. Amateurs.
Arizona State?
No.
Tennessee?
Not worried.
Okay.
Kansas, Brad, we all know, as a Kansas graduate and alum, Kansas is going 40-0, winning the national championship. There's no reason to even play this season.
Stanford, December 1st in Lawrence.
Loss,
okay. Marquette could play them in the NIT. Louisville, possibly in the NIT. New Mexico State, Vermont, Louisiana. The last couple, but it's stacked. That non-conference is stacked.
Nervous about the Vermont Catamounts.
The great thing about college basketball is it doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is getting to the tournament. College football, disaster if you lose one. Basketball doesn't matter. All right, quick timeout, then we'll talk with Seth Kaiser at Real MN Chiefs Fan. Has a nice piece out about Patrick Mahomes II as the Chiefs head towards training camp. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB with Jed Marshall. I'm Brad Porter. Back after this.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.